Hello, everyone. How are you? I hope you guys are ready for some fun.
This is the wine and ding dongs evening with Corinne. So I have water because I can't be boozing it up while taking you guys through the work. So you guys, though, are in for a treat. So we've done this workshop once before. It was a huge hit. We're going to do it again tonight as I'm getting dressed for you guys. I'm sorry. I came blazing in because I had to open the window. It's like 30-something degrees and hot as all get out in here. So tell me in the chat who's actually looking forward to this. If you don't know what we're doing, let me tell you what we're doing. You need to have. Well, let's put it this way. You don't have to have. You can still get a lot of value out of this by just listening and participating. If you are listening on the replay, or if you're listening now and you don't have your food and you don't have your worksheet, do not worry. I'm going to coach and I'm going to teach. So whether you have it or not is pretty irrelevant. So we sent out in your massive action line this week. And if you're watching the replay of this at any time, you can do this work whenever you want. You do not need to just do it tonight. You could literally do this every single week and learn so much about yourself and gain control of food. So the two things you need is a tedious and powerful worksheet. I'm going to tell you, it's over on PNP Tribe, guys. If you don't know where it's at, go to pnptribe.com, and then you're going to need to go to the worksheets, and you'll scroll all the way to the bottom. So scroll, scroll, scroll. If you've never been to the bottom, now's a really good time to go. And then right in the middle, you should see something called Tedious and Powerful Worksheet. So you will need to use that tonight. And then the only other thing that you need in order to do this worksheet is some kind of a food or drink that you have notoriously told yourself, I have no control over it. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to just get to know the food. That is going to be what we're going to be doing together. It's just kind of getting to know this food that you build a lot, like you give it a lot of credit in your life, you give it a lot of power. One of the things I really want you all understanding is that food does not have power over us. That's a thought that we have about food. And I want you to think about this logically. It may feel like it does because you eat it. But if you have your favorite food in front of you and all the time you tell yourself you can't control yourself, guess what? You do feel anxious around it. You do feel nervous around it. And if your brain is conditioned to needing to have relief when it's anxious and nervous, guess what it does? It sends up a lot of thoughts saying, like, it will bring up your excuses. It will bring up your justifications. It will roll through the usual scripts that get you to act on eating. So, like, before we do anything when it comes to food, in order to take control over it, we have to let go of the idea that it has control over us. You may continue to eat it because you don't like sitting through an urge. You may continue to eat it because it just tastes so good you don't want to say no. But now what we're going to do is we're going to go from lying to ourselves that food has control over us to telling ourselves the absolute truth. I choose to eat it every single time. Maybe because it's hard to say no. I don't want to say no. I just really want it in my mouth, whatever it may be. But now we're going to tell the truth. That is key. The way you get authority over things is through the truth. You have to watch for the little ways that we lie to ourselves. And you're not doing it intentionally, but it's so much easier to feel like a victim than it does to take responsibility that, oh yeah, this is me. And if this is me, that means the price to pay to no longer eating it, when I don't plan it, is probably sitting there just wanting it really bad. Why do you think we tell ourselves lies? It's a lot easier to justify eating it because you don't have any control than it is to sit there and say no, knowing you have the control, and the price to pay a few times is like a lot of want, a lot of mouth watering, a lot of chatter, a lot of all the things while you sit there and have to also practice patience with yourself as all those thoughts come in. So Everybody's talking about all the things that they brought. So this is amazing. So I love it when you guys tell me all the things that you brought. We've got wine. We have buttercream icing with home and a homemade cookie. We have Cadbury chocolate. We have an Oreos pizza. I was like, what the hell's an Oreo pizza? We have all the things. Let's put it that way. People have got hot dogs, garlic cheese bread, Hershey drops, Krispy Kreme donuts, Girl Scout cookies, some Chinese food, all the things. So let me tell you what Corinne would have right now while you guys continue to pour in. Corinne would probably have right now, if I was doing Tedious and Power, I'm trying to think of something that, you know, I will just say this honestly. I have practiced so long telling myself food doesn't control me, that there is not any food that I would say I couldn't say no to. Now, there are foods that I would like say yes to, but I would totally own it. But I would probably say it would be wine for me. Right now, I think my big work right now is just, it's always wine. I think for me, wine is always the one that that I just feel like I don't always have the cleanest of thoughts around. Like when I break my plans, it's almost always for wine. So there you go. All right. Somebody has a bag of grapes. Well, whatever floats your boat. Let's go. Merle, here's what I don't understand. Oh, Marilyn. I thought you were Merle. I was like, if that's Merle, she needs to be having, she's been on these coaching calls a few times. I think she's the one that like mindfully eats nuts and things like that. This is the other thing. Like doing it with nuts, doing it with some of the healthy bullshit we tell ourselves, it's okay to overeat because it's so much better. It's like, guys, never tell yourself that. Say, like, well, it was only nuts or it was only fruit or it was only whatever. Don't do that. You don't have to be punitive about it, but always recognizing I overate it. There's nothing wrong with the truth on it. The only thing that would be wrong with admitting that is if you were putting like, I overate it, and in parentheses, I suck afterward. We want to make sure that we're just like, you know, we're okay with our overeats because we're just going to learn from them. We're going to examine them. They don't mean we're broken. They don't mean we can't lose weight and stuff. It just means this time didn't work out the way I thought it would. So I need to like go back and look at it to see. So next time it can work out in the way I would like it to. All right. So here's what I want everyone to do. Get your worksheet out. You've already got step one done. I want you to make sure that wherever you're at, that you are like not distracted. One of the key pieces of this exercise is to not do this while you're distracted. Now, I don't mind that you're listening to me if you have your laptop or your phone out or whatever, but what I don't want you doing is sitting there with like the TV on or in the middle of a bunch of hoopla and all that other kind of stuff. This exercise is so much better when it's done, when you're in some peace and some quiet, okay? Doesn't mean you can't do it the other way. It just means that you're going to hear more. And for a lot of you, what this exercise is doing is it's slowing everything down enough to where you can really have the exact experience of it versus having a tuned out experience, which is what most of us do when we overeat. Like a lot of times you guys tell me you have a hard time telling me why you're doing it, what you were thinking, what triggered you. You don't even really remember how it tastes. You just know that you like it, but you can't really even describe to me to like big time detail what it's like. All right. So what I want all of you to do is write the name of the food down on the worksheet. And I want you to be really honest about this. The key to this exercise is the honesty factor. Is you guys set aside, like I want you to take, like everybody take a big deep breath in. You don't have to smell your food, but I want you to take a big deep breath in. And I just want you to let it out. Pretend you're scooping up all of your self-judgment. And we are going to set that aside for a little bit. We're going to let self-judgment just observe us. Okay. There's no right or wrong things that are going to happen in here. So if some people are doing the exercise and experiencing it one way, and some people are experiencing it another, that does not mean either one was right or wrong. It means that was your experience. The whole key to this is identifying the experience that your brain is creating with the food. Once we know the experience you're having with it, it is so much easier to to start creating the new experience we want going forward with the food so that it allows us to truly enjoy it. Because I don't think anybody picked anything here that they hate. Let's hope not. And, well, if you did pick something you hate, then I guess you're just going to figure out how much you hate it. So there's no wrong way to do it. But I think most people are bringing stuff in here that they really want to work on. And then the other thing that it does is it allows you to have the experience going forward that not only allows you to truly enjoy it and be mindful of it, but it also allows you to include it in such a way that you get to lose your weight. And then this exercise is really good at also helping you decide how much you want to experience, at what level you want to experience it. Is it worth experiencing it anymore? I have seen so many people do this worksheet and then really decide, like, I don't know that I love it as much as I thought I loved it. The story I had around it about it being my kryptonite and all that other stuff created way more obsession with it than what the actual slowed down eating did. And then I want you all to tell me where you're at on the hunger scale. So let me see over in the comments, where are you guys at on the hunger scale? So here's what I want you to know. You do not need to be hungry to do this worksheet. We used to tell you guys that it was better if you were hungry. I don't think so. I think that like it is a really good worksheet to do at all stages, so that you can kind of see if your experience changes depending on how hungry you are. Or like, you know, for a lot of us, like for a lot of you, your binges and your overeats start when you're already at a 2 or 3. Like you're not even hungry anymore. That's why I think it's really good to do this at all stages. So sometimes if you come back to this worksheet, and I literally, for those of you who are like really trying to gain authority over food, I would plan to do this every single week. Just listen to the recording again if you want, or do it on your own. But I would plan to do it once a week with different foods or same foods at different hunger levels. Okay, so everybody's good. All right. And then describe the food in detail. So I want you to take a look at it, and I want you to smell it. I want you to look at it. I want you to actually feel it. And all the things. So everybody right now, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to take a small piece of it and I want you to feel it. If you have wine, unless it's going to gross you out and you're not going to be able to drink, I want you to actually dip your finger in it. And like take about 15 seconds to do this. A lot of people are going to have anxiety. Guys, no feelings are wrong. If I see judgment over there in that chat, I'm probably going to come over and slap your ass. Stop judging. Why you guys are like feeling the describe it in detail, like look. Now everybody take a big smell of it, a really good smell. Maybe smell it 2 or 3 times. And then continue to write about what you're noticing all about the food. Here's the thing. There's like, we want to know the feelings that are coming up for you. We want to know, like, are you giddy? Are you anxious? Are you excited? Are you happy? Are you scared? Are you whatever? That's good information. The only thing that those feelings are telling you is that I'm having a thought about this food right now. That's the huge connection that I want all of you to make, that any feeling you're feeling right now that's emotional is because you have a feeling about the food. I want to remind all of you, let me get my, I don't know if y'all can tell, I got my leopard pants on tonight. Just saying, row, row. And like Chris Crabtree has me so, my wires are crazy. All right. When you have a feeling, guys, one of the key things about the model is like relaxed or anxious, whatever you're feeling, insert your feeling here. It's always caused by a thought. I catch you guys all the time saying things like the Oreos made me anxious. The Girl Scout cookies scared me. Food and circumstances cannot generate feelings. It's outside of their power. And when you really start connecting that your thoughts about the food, that's what's generating all feelings at all time. And you remind yourself when you try to think, well, I saw the Oreos and I just felt compelled. I just felt an urge. It's a really good opportunity for you, like, to understand, like, if you, even in the moment when you start feeling it, say, like, I just ask yourself, what am I thinking about the food right now that makes me feel this way? Before you even stop eating the food and responding to the urges and stuff, that's like step one. You have to understand what it is that you think that gets you there, and don't judge it. And don't think something's going wrong. The moment your brain starts getting used to the idea that it's all generated from something that you think, you no longer have to be scared of food. You just have to, oh God, it's my thinking. So right now, here's what I do want to think. Or you want to say, like, the only reason why I'm feeling anxious right now is because I'm having thoughts that drive anxiety. It allows you to quit being scared of food. It gets you focused on what the actual, like, experience is happening for you. This is how a lot of times when people stop responding and overeating, it's because they get so good at understanding that their thinking's causing it. They get really good at hearing their thinking. And they'll hear their thinking before they get to the anxiety, the excitement, the all the thoughts on this line or all the feelings on this line. It's basically like being able to just slow all the stuff down. And it is like, you just need to tell yourself, it's just food. And guys, here's the thing. For a lot of you, it's just food doesn't feel believable yet. Do you know what I like to tell myself? It's just food. And sometimes it's really tempting. It's just food. And sometimes I really want it. And that's okay. Like, let's drop into a lot of acceptance around our desires for food rather than always thinking that we have to, like, no. We can't ever admit that we like food, and we can't ever admit that we're having a desire. We can't ever do those things, because if we do those things, that must mean we're going to eat. No. Like, in the model, it's just food, and sometimes I really want it. Guess what happens on the feeling line? Understanding, and the action becomes listening to my chatter, sitting with my discomfort, understanding my thoughts. That's the model we want to get to. The action line is not eat. The action line is the process of not eating. What is it going to be like to not eat? And then the result becomes, I understand it's just food. Sometimes you eat it and sometimes you don't. But I will guarantee you, this model ends up being, more times than not, you get practice with urges successfully. Okay, so you're feeling before eating the food. What is everybody feeling? You've touched it, you've smelled it, you've felt it, you've done all the things. We're like, basically, we're, you know, having a little second base with the food right now. Before we take our ass home. Excitement, restless, anticipating, impatient, anxiety, shame that it's not on my plan. What's so funny is it's not on my plan. Why would you, like, what if we just decide that it is on my, rather than saying it's not on my plan, maybe you could be thinking, I'm experimenting with Corinne tonight. I'm learning how to be with this food without anxiety and shame. Just so that you can drop out of judgment. It's not on my plan is a judgment thought. This is a workshop, okay? Everybody move into, this is a workshop. Anxious because tomorrow is weigh-in day. I guess we're going to find out how much you're going to eat, Emily. You might be shocked. All right. Now that I've made you sit with it for a while, which is the point, why do you think I do? Let's say here we are, 20 minutes in. Have we even got to eat yet? No. Now, A few of you may have already taken a bite, snuck one in on me, done the things. I just want you to be aware of that. I don't want you judging that. I want you to see that even like right now, like you're wanting to be sneaky. Somebody said, I just want to be sneaky. I just want to have a little. Just be aware of that. You're not like, here's the funny thing. Not being sneaky at all. You have a feeling you're being sneaky because you're thinking nobody can see me. I feel sneaky. I take a little bit. And the result is, but I see me. I will always know. That's the model to learn from that part. That there is no sneaking. It may feel sneaky because of how you're thinking, but the truth is there's only one person in the world that ever really like is the result of the eating, and that's me. And I can't get away from me, no matter how hard I try. Okay? So, everybody take one more big deep breath of your food. Take one more good look at it. And I want you all to tell yourself, so far, food truly doesn't have control over me. We're at 22 minutes. Haven't had anything yet. Or if I have, I didn't eat all of it. I just ate a little. And I saw that. That's all that's happened so far. Now, somebody tell me in the chat, if your food actually like somehow got arms and legs and like shoved its way in, just let me know. Please, God, tell me you got it on camera so that we can like put that out in the world. Okay, here's what I want you to do now. I want you all to close your eyes. And I want you to take a minute. And I want you to focus on what you're physically feeling in your body now. So you've already told me how you're feeling. And now what we're going to do is we're going to figure out physically what that actually feels like. So when you close your eyes, I want you to start at your head. And if you can see me, you're doing it wrong. Think about your jaws. Think about your mouth. Is it watering? Is it dry? Is your face tense or is it relaxed? Move into your throat. Is it open? Does it feel constricted? Examine your overall muscles in your body. Are you tensed up? Or are you just sitting there? Now pay attention to your breathing. Is your breathing like fast? Or is it slow? Is your heart racing? If you're in the chat talking, close your eyes, get back to work. This is you trying to get out of being uncomfortable. Get back to being uncomfortable. And then think about your skin. Is it hot, red, cool, sweaty? Now, everybody open your eyes and just turn your page over because this isn't part of this particular worksheet. But I want you to write the physical sensations that you noticed while we did that little body scan. So how was your breathing? How was your heart rate? What did your muscles feel like? And write those down. And make sure you note at the top the feeling you had identified. Now what we just did, you can keep writing, is I took you through a body scan so that you can see that for a lot of you who are nervous and giddy and excited and all the things around food, that what you experienced is what most of you are eating to alleviate. That's literally the worst of it. That's why I had Sean, that's why I asked you to kind of go back into discomfort. Because for you, you came in and started chatting like, oh my gosh, now I'm getting anxious and stuff. What I wanted for all of you to do is before we even do this exercise, so just truly understand that our eating is usually with us trying to escape physical sensations that start with a thought. So what your brain does is it has a thought about the food. It releases chemicals. And when those chemicals go through your body, they make your physical body vibrate in ways. They make your physical body composition change a little bit. And if the only thing that happens when we have anxiety and nervousness and other things is that, we don't really need the wine and we don't need the popcorn and stuff to make it go away. The true sitting with the discomfort when it comes to your food and taking authority back over it comes in about three easy steps. The first one is to don't judge it when it's happening. To never tell yourself, like, you really have to drop into, like, I have control over this. It may not feel good, but the food will not have control over me. Whether you eat it or not, you always made the choice. And it's just dropping into that truth. The second piece is to say the reason why I'm feeling this way is because of a thought that I'm having about this food. And that's okay. That allows you to drop the resistance around the feelings. So the first thing that we're doing is we're dropping the judgment around even having thoughts. And we're dropping the lie we tell ourselves that it's the food. So we're reestablishing that relationship with ourselves. The second piece is we're dropping the resistance around the feelings simply created by some thoughts. And then what we just did now, when you truly start dropping into feeling the physical sensations as often as you can, it lessens the intensity of urges. It doesn't mean the thoughts stop, and it doesn't mean that the want and the desire goes away, but the temperature drastically lowers. Okay? All right. No, we're not even eating yet. Kathy will get all those typed up for you. Now we finally get to eat. Everybody's like, what are we eating? 28 minutes in, we've done a body scan, we've learned a lot, and now we finally get to eat. So here's how we're going to do it. You get one bite, and then you put it down, and you do not get a second bite. So everybody is going to take a bite and you're going to like really chew it and you're really going to think about what's going on in your mouth. And then you're just going to describe in great detail how bite one was. Go. Kathy will, don't worry about the 1, 2, 3 guys. Kathy will get it typed up and then we will put in the notes, the show notes for this video. We'll put the three things down. But basically, number one is to tell yourself the truth without judgment. Number two was to tell yourself this feeling is only created by a thought and that's okay. So that you drop the resistance around any feeling that you're having. It's easier to feel a feeling like anxiety if you're not judging the fuck out of it and fighting with it and resisting it. And then number three is to do a body scan to figure out like, oh, keep reminding yourself, feelings are literally just the vibrations in my body. I hope that helped. Kathy, that was mainly for you too. Okay. Everybody type in a few things that you put in your details around your food. And then we're going to do bite two. Bite two from now on is optional. Bite one is our mandatory bite. Everything after this, you get to take a bite. You take 30 seconds. You chew it super slow. You think about it. And then you write about the experience of that bite in detail. Like, don't, and on your sheet, guys, don't, when I say detail, please don't put just delicious or just salty. Like, it melted on my tongue instantly. It got stuck in my teeth a little bit. It took about 4 chews to get it to get unstuck. It was fast and quick and a little bitter at the end. That's the level of detail that we want. So when you do bite 2, I want you to pay attention. Like, you want, like, let's pay attention as if every pound you're going to lose in PNP rides on this next bite. Maybe it does. Okay, take bite 2 and then write about it. Oh, that's a good description, Karen. Crispy outside, fluffy inside, cream oozed out, fresh and sweet, still licking glaze from my lips and teeth. Dry on the roof of my mouth. I felt it in my nose. My eyes watered. Ooh, what are you eating? Somebody's like, waxy, chocolatey. I'm kind of disappointed. Okay, bite 2. Here's what I want to know. Give me a number 1. If your experience changed, a number 2, if it's getting better. Let's do this. Number 1, let's do 1, the experience changed. Give me a 2, if the experience is better than the first bite. Give me a 3, if you're like, it was disappointing compared to bite 1. And if I got my numbers wrong, don't worry about it. The key here is for you to be thinking about this next bite. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay. I'm not eating anything. I'm having to do all the talking. No food for you. Bite 3, go. It's time for bite 3. Remember, go slow, really chew it, pay super good attention, and if you're done, just be like, I don't want any more. Just put done in the comments. Some of you will be done fast. Some of you will want it all. There's no right or wrong. I just want you to have the true, authentic experience without judgment so that you can take this. And then from now on, really understand, like, is this a worth it food? Does it, like, did the experience match all my thoughts and opinions that I have about it all the time? Do I need to eat as much as I normally do when I'm not paying attention versus when I'm paying attention? These are some of the questions that you want to answer. So what I want you guys to do is I want you to keep on biting and chewing. And then if you get done, I want you to type in done. And I'm going to, let's see if there's a question. Oh, no. If you guys have any questions, go ahead and put them in the Q&A. And then I'm going to answer those while you guys are finishing up stuff. What was the name of the previous workshop you did like this? I am not sure, Deanna. If you'll ask, Kathy can get probably put the link in here, but I've done this one before. It wasn't called Wine and Ding Dongs, though. It may have just been called Tedious and Powerful. I don't know. We probably called it something super boring, and this time we wanted to call it Wine and Ding Dongs, you know, to be on brand and all the things. Let's see. Somebody... I saw a question pop through in the Q&A. Why do I want to continue eating? I don't know. Answer the question. Why do you want to continue eating? Some people, like, maybe you're hungry. Maybe you enjoy it. Maybe you're just telling yourself that you want to finish it. Just want to finish it to finish it. Like, this is when we get curious about it. This is when we actually want to answer those questions. Like, we don't want to, like, fight with it. We just want to understand it. Let's see. What about drinking water between bites? Is it okay? Yeah, you can drink water between bites. I don't want nobody choking. How would I apply this to a happy hour? I would bring home a drink that you normally drink at happy hour. And let me just tell you, this is how, like, for all of my boozies like me, here's how you know whether it's the drinks or you're using the drinks to compensate for the experience. So whatever drink you have at happy hour, do this. Here's two ways you could do it. Make the drink at home and do the worksheet. Put the worksheet on your phone, go to a bar by yourself and have a drink and do the worksheet without like having to like fill out your paper and everything, or sit at a table in a restaurant or something and do the worksheet. And let me just tell you, if you're not feeling like you need to drink two or three, then you know it's not the drinks that are so good. It's what am I using the drinking for at happy hour to compensate for? So sometimes people are just like, but it's so cheap and I should just drink and everyone's having a good time. Those are all thoughts about the drinking. So it's not the drinking. For some people, it's like, I'm more fun when I drink. I did a big coaching on this when we did the in-person event in January with the people that came for the weight loss with Corinne week. Telling yourself like, oh, you're more fun. That's good to know. Why can't you be fun without alcohol? Probably because you're shy, or maybe you're worried what other people will think. Those are the things you want to know so that you can start working on that, so you don't need to be drinking for it. An impulsive urge feels like it comes on so quickly, and I feel like, oh no, why doesn't it feel like a choice when it's impulsive? It's just because you haven't, because you're telling yourself right now, it's the oh no part. If it wasn't a problem that it was coming on fast, then when it came on and you started eating and you didn't have judgment that, oh God, this is wrong, I shouldn't be doing this. If you weren't doing all of that, you would actually hear what it is you're thinking that got you to where you want to eat. I am going to tell all of you, when you get past the urges and stuff being a problem with you, making it mean that I can't lose weight because I keep having urges and overeating. It's like, you can lose weight and have urges, overeat, and learn from them. No one's putting the "and learn from them" into it. Because if you stop judging, you start hearing what's truly going on. You can't understand why you want something and the emotions behind it when you are experiencing resistance, judgment, and shame. Your brain is clouded with those thoughts, and you're only going to hear those thoughts. You don't have room to listen to the other conversation that's running on low in the background that got you there to begin with. I enjoyed the bites, but only found I wanted a few, okay, to put on my daily plan. If you want to, it's all up to you. There's no right or wrong on that one. For some people, they're like, oh, I actually could put a few of these on my plan now that I know I won't eat all of it, because if I can do that with a worksheet listening to an audio, I could probably just do this without a worksheet and an audio. Let's say you're more of a grazer than a person who binges. How should you do a plan to binge? I would like put all that grazing that you do on a plate and then sit there and eat it. Grazers have the hardest time with a planned grazing. Like, seriously. Watch yourself all day. Make yourself take pictures of all the little grazing things you do all day long. Just say like, you know what? I'm going to take pictures of all of that. I just want to see what the volume of food is. Then make that plate and then sit down with it on the next day. Be like, it'll be a different experience. It won't be so mindless. Collecting pictures of the food for grazers is often a really good habit to form, because it gives you a pause before you do it, and it gives you some reality as to how much grazing you're doing. Because a lot of times grazers, their biggest thought is, I'm not really eating that much. A little bit won't hurt. Well, if you like took pictures for a month of all your grazing, and then you put them into a collage, put them in an album, and then take a really good look at it and be like, I wonder if this is impeding my weight loss at all. And then like for everything you graze, if you judge yourself and then you eat some more on top of it, like that night or whatever, because you felt like, you know, well, I might as well have pizza tonight anyway, take pictures of that and put it into my collection of what grazing looks like for me. What that does is it gives you an accurate data point so that you can decide, man, I need some reality with this behavior so I can really decide if this is a behavior that I want to keep. And if I don't want to keep the behavior, that will tie your brain to a visual of what it's actually happening. When we tell our things like a little bit won't hurt, our brain doesn't have a visual of what a little bit looks like. It has the emotional pain afterward of letdown, but it really doesn't understand what it is. Give your brain the understanding. Give your brain clarity. Give your brain an accurate picture. Okay. If you want to get coached, raise your hand. I'm going to take at least one or two of you. I'm doing this with gin and tonic. So most sips have been citrus, cold, bitter bite to it. But I'm noticing the feeling in my body. Is this a good method? Yeah. Just keep writing. Keep writing, keep writing, keep writing. I think this is really good for people who drink. Unless you have an alcohol problem, guys. And I'm not talking about this is for alcoholics. Just for those of us who tend to want to drink for whatever. Like, just really understanding, like, this is what my gin and tonics really taste like. And then I start getting these feelings and stuff. Do I need them as often as I think I do? Start questioning all of that. All right, let's go with Tanya. Hey, Tanya.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I'm doing okay.
So what you want coaching on?
So I was really excited about this workshop, so much so that I've been waiting for it for days. but
I hope I didn't disappoint.
One of the things that I've thought all day and for days is almost like I'm going to a party. I'm so excited because I knew I would have a excuse to be able to eat the stupid Oreos. And that's not an isolated feeling. I a lot of times what I've noticed.
Let me ask you, why do you need an excuse to eat Oreos? Why are you not just planning Oreos?
Well, I am working on the thought that there are no good foods or bad foods. And so I am putting things that I normally wouldn't have on my plan.
Okay.
But this is a work in progress. But one of the patterns I find is that when I'm excited, whether it's, you know, a good day at work or it's almost, that is when it's takes a little bit more thought work to try and not succumb to the urge because I have found I associate happiness with food.
That's fine.
Most of the time.
I want all of you to be happy with food. Okay. But you're not actually happy with it. You're scared of it. And when you're eating it, you're not eating it from excitement because you, like, I planned it. I get to look forward to this. This is part of, like, a normal eating pattern. You're eating it from an urge. That's right. Very different. And there's nothing wrong with being happy with food. I don't think that's what's happening, though. I think you're spending more time in fear of food.
Right,
it's telling yourself you're happy when you eat it.
Because I have the thoughts that it's you're not going to be able to stop, or
right. So like if we put Oreos up here, and the thought is I can't stop, you're not feeling happy when you're eating them. You're eating them because you're like, I got to get away with something because I know I'm going to end up taking them away from myself. That's what happens in that, like, there's good food, bad food cycle. So you're like, what I want you to say, see is that feeling happy with food is fine. Being excited you get to eat it is fine. I want you excited. It would be like saying, you know what? You can't be happy and excited about going on vacation. Mm. Now, come on. There's no good or bad vacations. Right. Well, I mean, do you see what I'm saying? Like, I want you to think about this. I want you guys planning your food, all of your food, in a way that allows you to be happy. It allows you to be excited that you're going to have it because you know that you are in control of it. That's why I want you happy and excited. Like, I'm learning that I actually control this versus, well, if I start, I won't be able to stop. Mm-hmm. Then what happens is that when the Oreos come in, the fear is being felt. The anxiety is being felt about it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say that when you're eating it, that your brain doesn't switch to thoughts of like, you know, well, like, I just want to question this whole idea of it making you happy. Tell me the happy thought that you have about the Oreo in the moment when you're eating them off plan and out of control.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not necessarily when you're eating it. Like I just noticed as I was eating it now, it was sweet and it tasted good, but it wasn't the best thing in the world either. It's the before I eat it. It's the anticipation of eating it, not necessarily the eating it.
Okay, so the anticipation part. Anticipation is a feeling.
Okay. So the thought is, I think it's all revolving around, I'm still seeing food as like a reward. So I'm anticipating being able to get something, being able to have something that I normally would not have. I keep going back in circles because I hear you in my head saying, why not put it in?
I think it's fine to put it in your plan, but not because you're saying I get to have something I normally can't. Tell me how that actually feels.
When I get to have something that I don't want, it feels before it.
Like, give me an example. Like, let's not do Oreos. This is not a good example. Give me a recent example of where your thought is, I'm going to have something I can't have.
Okay, so like Super Bowl Sunday. We had, you know, wings and chips and salsa and, you know, finger foods. And I'm not even that big of a football fan.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So how did all of that feel? I'm going to have something I can't have, and it's the Super Bowl food.
I was excited. I was excited that I was going to be able to have that.
Okay. What's the problem with that?
Well, because I overate. Okay, and
but
was up.
I don't give a fuck what the scale says, and you shouldn't either. Y'all all go to, but I now was up and wait. Like, who gives a shit? Let's talk about the real problem. Y'all's weight is not the problem.
Yeah.
The real problem is you don't want to look into why you overate, because it's not this. Like, here's the model that I want for you to see that could run. Okay. Anticipate. Eat normally. Wait, this actually, no, wait, I'm sorry. I'm in your ideal model. Sorry. So I'm going to have something I can't have. Overeat here. This anticipation is coming from the wrong place. And that's the problem. Rather than, I'm going to enjoy the food. I'm going to have some food. Like, even if we, like, literally, if we just get to, for you, Like, this is where I want you to think about, like, just laddering up a little bit in your thinking rather than thinking like Super Bowl food. Because the basis of this is I'm going to have something I can't have is from because food controls me. That's really where it's coming from. And so the real, like, you're anticipating the event of it, but what got you to the overeating is the core belief that the food is what's controlling you, that you can't somehow have any authority over it. And what I want you to really understand is even when you're overeating, you had all the authority. The food did not control you. You just decided to eat instead of feeling uncomfortable with stopping.
Okay.
And the main reason why you guys do that is because it runs head first into that belief that the food is controlling. That's why I was saying in the beginning, it's so important to tell yourself the truth. Even when I overeat, I was in control. It had nothing to do with wings and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I just chose not to be uncomfortable. Like a thought for, you know, that overeat could just be like, I just chose not to be uncomfortable. Not, see, I can't control myself around food.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different mindset. But here's what I want to show you. I don't want you going to, because you're like, when we overeat in this, it's the result ultimately comes, I can't have control over the food. Like I'm denying myself of it. Not the food is doing it. So I want you to go to a model. And I think this is important for a lot of you is Super Bowl food. It's just food.
Mm-hmm.
Like get it neutral. Like you do not need to go to like, you know, I'm going to control myself. Food doesn't make me happy. It's just fuel. Like don't go to all that bullshit. When you have that story of how like food is controlling you, then just get to where like Oreos, Super Bowl food. What are the other foods you put that you like to like, put on your no-no list?
Mexican food.
Mexican.
Yeah. Well, basically anything fried. You know, fried chicken food. Or... Yeah.
Okay.
Things
so
like that.
All of those things we want to put up here. And now for you, because you're locked into the story, is there's foods that are good, there's foods that are bad, the ones that are bad, I have no control. That total story you've constructed for yourself is like, from now on, I just want you, like, every time you catch yourself going in there, I want you saying, oh, wait, it's just food. The other stuff is that story I keep telling myself. It's just food. You'll have to remind yourself of that a lot. And what it does is it starts dropping the emotional gauge down. So rather than feeling a little anxious or shameful or bad or, you know, like this is a problem kind of thing, you'll move into it's just food. The feeling will be more like awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not looking for you to feel anything bigger than just getting up to a neutral state and an awareness state. Truth, like, it's, I swear to God, it really does set us free. Because once you really start getting used to, it's Super Bowl food. I might really want it, but it's just food. I might be tempted to overeat, but it's just food. Rather than, ooh, I'm going to get to have stuff I can't usually have.
Right. Okay.
That builds up the wrong, like right now, what we want to do is deconstruct your anticipation around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to rebuild it in the right way, which is I can plan for the foods I love at any time. Then when you feel like you really can do that and you really can start doing it, you're going to be more like me. Like I'm going to tell you, I anticipate the fuck out of stuff all the time. But not in a way of because I can't have it now. But because I choose not to now. And when I do have it, I really want to just enjoy it. I don't want to be having it because I feel like I can't. I don't want to have a relationship with food anymore where it's like punitive.
Mm-hmm.
There's only certain things I'm allowed to eat. Like, I don't like living like that. So I just decided to rewrite it all over time.
Okay.
So does that make sense really, to everybody?
No, it does. It even feels, I mean, it just feels neutral. It just feels calm. It doesn't, there's not a disappointment. There's nothing there. I love that you just said it's just food. Because that's what it is. And, yeah. I'm going to really work on that because I, have lots of thoughts about that. So I'm going to do a lot of TDLs on that. I love that.
I would definitely do a TDL and do one on like, it's just food and all the things that could mean. So like for me personally, just to give you a couple of examples, it's just food. And there are some foods I enjoy more than others, and that's okay.
Okay.
It's just food. And sometimes I do eat a salad when I would rather have something else. And mm-hmm. I can handle that. Like I have a very, like what I just call the boring relationship with it.
Okay.
I like 90% of my life with food to just, when I say boring, I don't mean boring in taste. I mean boring in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like an event all the time. Like, when are we eating? What are we eating? How much are you eating? I don't know. Yeah. What time? Like, I don't do all that anymore. And when it becomes really boring, then the 10% of the time when I plan things that I just don't eat all the time, I really enjoy it so much more because it puts such a contrast to things. And when I think of it as boring, it's like neutral. I always like to describe it as mm-hmm. boring because when you strip away a lot of the exciting language and stuff around it or the amped up language, it's like, I always tell people, the food story of your life should sound like a snooze fest. You shouldn't be like going, oh my God, well, I overate and they're going to start like, you know, like you shouldn't have to lean in and get serious when you talk about it. You should be like, we're going for nachos. It's going to be so much fun. What else are we doing? Who's coming? Like you just think about all the things, you know, it's not like, oh my God, you know, I'm going to have nachos. And for years I really overate them. I'm really hoping this time's going to be different. I don't know though, because they sometimes have control over me. I hope I don't go face down and gain some weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a novella.
So no drama.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Corinne. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. That was a really good coaching session. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's do one more. Suze, I like it. Let's do it. Hey, hang on. Oh, your video's already on. Sorry. I'll unmute you. There you go.
Okay.
What are we chatting about?
Okay, so I am a January newbie, and I have listened to the last two Zoom calls. Actually, one of our friends was on it, and I learned so much from that. But in going through this model, I was really looking forward to this because I actual choice tonight was Coke. And while I've been putting on my plan
like Coke? Like lunch,
like Coke.
We always call it, in our family, we call it
the real thing, not diet. Yeah, the real thing, yeah.
Yeah, because they own all of it.
Yeah, oh yeah, yes, that's so true. And so my challenge is, I have been putting on my plan, but I don't want to stop at what's on my plan. And I want to really move towards neutrality with it because I know it's not really great for my health. But I enjoy it. So it's something that I've decided I'm not going to entirely eliminate it.
Okay.
But I do want to move towards taking that next step of having less of it.
What's the current unneutral thought that gets you to like...
I would say that oftentimes it does provide some form of relief for me.
No, never tell yourself that.
I know. It's not true. Not tell myself.
Here's how we know it's not true. How do we know it's not true? I'm going to give you a test.
Okay.
Tell me that you've taken phase two of No BS.
Yeah, I'm not completely through it, but I know that Okay.
Here comes your quiz. And if you fail, I'm just going to hang up on you.
Okay. I'll try not to cry then.
It'll be like, no more coaching for you.
Okay.
We got Big Coke up here.
Yeah. I'm going to write it on my paper too.
We have relief. And you said, but sometimes Coke feels like relief. And you're telling yourself the C line is creating the relief. Mm-hmm. Means we've given no responsibility to ourselves that the relief is coming from the thought we're having about drinking Coke.
Yeah.
So like we'll put up here, like literally, I'm always looking for my stuff. Let's put the C line is actually, a lot of times we would put drinking Coke down here so we could kind of see what got you here.
And I'm sorry, I'm moving. I'm sorry, I'm moving. I got to let my dog in, but I'll go really slowly.
I won't look at you.
Okay. I'll let you know when I'm done moving.
Wouldn't everybody, this is why I don't eat on these calls, y'all. I would have thrown up.
I'm sorry.
I love how you were like really moving slow. I have finally told enough people about my car sickness and y'all like really listen. All right. So we're drinking the Coke and you're feeling relief. It's coming from a thought. Mm-hmm. We're over drinking Coke, right?
Yeah. I'm over drinking Coke.
So we're over drinking our Coke and now we're feeling relief.
Yeah.
And what is the thought?
Well, I actually do have a sensation when on those first few sips.
You will have a sensation because your thought will be, this is so good.
Yes.
God, I'm having my Coke.
Yeah, it tastes good and it makes my brain light up. It makes I'm like
stop thinking about your brain. Let's get out of the chemical part because we want to take ownership because here's how we're going to have to be able to drink Coke.
Okay.
You're going to have to be able to drink Coke while your brain lights up and still stop.
Yes.
So sitting there and saying, it's my brain though. No, it's no, Corinne. No, no, no. It's really the sugar in the brain. It's all the chemicals.
Yeah.
In order for you to be a Coke drinker, the currency is to drink Coke and your brain light up and you still have to stop when you said you would stop.
Yes.
That is like everybody who wants a cookie and all this other stuff. Guys, I give it to you. It's just like all of us who want to drink. Like for me, the currency of drinking wine is that I always say I can have 3 glasses. Okay. Well, after 3 glasses, the currency I have to pay is sitting there buzzed to the hilt, wanting to drink the 4th and not doing it.
Okay.
Like I pay the currency at some point. That's the thing. It's like we have to understand that because we can't sit there and say, well, it's the alcohol or it's the Coke, it's the sugar, it's the stuff. That may be factually true, but not all facts help us be the person we want to be. So it's like,
definitely,
if you really want to drink Coke or drink wine or eat sugar and you want that to be a part of your life, you have to know. And part of the price of that is this side too. It's not all fun and games.
Right.
It's like, you know, like Chris, amazing man, but there are certain currencies that I pay to have that husband.
Yeah.
You know, like he's not going to give me gifts on my birthday and do the thing. Like a lot of y'all like get shit all the time. I don't get shit. I would like shit, but the price I pay to have one version of him means I also on this side have to want for the flowers and stuff and be okay with not having it.
Yeah.
So same thing. All right.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
So I give you that you're getting relief, but it's because like when you're over drinking, you're probably shutting down. This is what I see most of you do. Yeah. You probably have thoughts of, I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop. This is so good. I'm just going to drink the rest of it. And then when you say, let's just have it, the thought that gets you the over drinking provides relief from the thinking.
Okay.
That is where you're getting, you're getting, that's the relief from yourself.
Yeah.
The Coke is not doing it.
Yes. Which is why I wanted to be on this call because of those other two Zoom calls where you're talking about what is the story you're telling yourself? What are the thoughts you're having? Like that has to change before the other things will change. So I guess that's really the heart of the matter tonight, is that I want to be able to consume this in a manner that I really am in control of, and that my thought life around it is like good, and that the thoughts I'm having aren't the reason why I'm really going for it. It's because I put it on my plan and I want to enjoy it, not because I've had a crappy day or, you know, the kids are driving me crazy or any other thing, number of things.
Yes. And that's why I think changing, like when you're going to have your coat, really think about and have compassion for yourself. My brain is going to light up. I will probably want more and stuff, but today I'm not going to. And I would just tell myself, it's going to be really normal. And the first few times I stop myself will be harder than the times in a few days when I don't stop myself. When I am going to stop myself, it will just get easier over time. But the first few times, have that compassion that, of course, I'm going to want it. That's the normal part. And the only relief I'll get will be the relief from my thinking. It's not the Coke doing anything.
Yeah.
And I will tell you guys, I think there's a lot of like peace in that. And so like, if you think about it ahead of time, I want you visualizing yourself having your Coke, and I want you visualizing yourself actually stopping and it being a little uncomfortable, but you saying, and that's okay, I got you. And then visualize yourself the next day being super proud of you stopping it. Visualization is really key to learning how to like actually get through these urges and stop, because it allows your brain to like role play what you want to have happen. Because what ends up happening is we role play over and over again how it happened thousands of times, and then wonder why we keep getting the same actions in the future. Your brain does not know the difference between like rehearsal and actual. It just sees images. And so the more that we like let it see success and experience it and kind of go through what we'll go through without judgment, the easier that next time will be. It'll like you'll feel like you kind of know what to anticipate. And rather than being like, and this is bad, it's like, I was prepared for this. Totally prepared for this.
I so appreciate that. And I will say, even going through this exercise tonight, I got to a point when I got to like the seven. So I had bread and Coke, but Coke is more of the issue. I got to bite seven and drink seven. And by then it had lost its like pizzazz, and it actually both of them started tasting a bit chemically. Mm-hmm. So that was good. So I didn't drink this whole thing, and I really have no desire to drink all of it right now. So just the intentionality of it all and taking time to slow down and really think about like going through those sensations, like you said, how does it taste? What does it feel like? All those things really was a big help.
Yeah, I think this is probably one of the most powerful things that we do in all of PNP. Like, I love this little workshop. It always just ends up paying off in spades for us. So thank you so much. That was a good one.
Thank you, Corinne. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, y'all. So I'm going to let you guys on your own fill out the rest of your worksheet. So once you're done eating, you have like, did the experience change? Did you notice eating in this way? Was it different or was it normal than what you normally do? Like it just kind of went through like asking you, why did you stop eating and all those kinds of good things. I think this worksheet is super powerful. I think it's so good for all of us to be doing on a regular basis, to just examine our thinking, to clean up our thinking, especially my girls who are in maintenance, the girls who are halfway through their journey, who are closing in on the last 20 pounds. You guys in particular should be doing this, because what ends up happening is the closer you get to goal, you start wanting to put some of these foods in that you might have been resisting or white knuckling, not having for a while. This is the exact time to do these. I hope that all of you, the one thing that you learned through this worksheet is that doing this will not cause you to gain weight. I know we're consuming some calories. I mean, let's not, you know, like pretend we're not. But the lesson that you learn will save you in so many overeats in the future and change your experience with food. That's the long-term weight loss that we want. Okay? All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. I will see you guys. Let me see what today's day is. I think I'm seeing you guys a Sunday. I will see you guys on Sunday. We're going to be doing some coaching and all the things. All right. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.